Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everyone. I'm Mitch Goldish, and welcome to this very special episode of the MMQB podcast. Election season is here, and we are proud to bring you the very first debate between this year's top two candidates. Tonight, our two candidates will speak directly to you, the American people, as they share their vision for the future of the NFL. Let's meet those candidates, and then I'll go over tonight's format. First, from the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, Mr. Albert Breer.
And hello, Mitch.
Hello. And from the state of New Jersey, Mr. Connor Orr.
Hello, Mitch. Hello, America.
Hello. Gentlemen, I'd like to remind you of the rules. I will read each question in full and direct the question to one candidate to answer first. You will have 2 minutes to respond, and then the other gentleman will have 90 seconds to offer a rebuttal. At that point, we will have open discussion until I feel it's time to move on, though I will grant extra time if I ask a follow-up question or if the other candidate addresses you by name. We will alternate who takes each new question first, and at the end we'll have a rapid-fire round where each question will only be answered by one candidate, and you'll have just 30 seconds to respond. I'll remind you, these questions are mine alone and have not been shared with either candidate, and our audience has agreed to keep quiet during the proceedings so we can focus on what the candidates are saying. I'll remind you, too, the eyes of the nation are upon us, and I ask that you please act with decorum befitting this stage. Mr. Orr, would you like to make an opening statement?
I would. Thank you, Mitch. Thank you, Albert.
It's Mr. Goldich.
Thank you, Mr. Goldich. Thank you, Mr. Breer. Thank you, United States of America. Unlike my opponent, obviously, I support football. I support the troops. I support the United States. And that's why I'm here, to uphold the Constitution of America and the NFL 345 Park fact and rule book, which my opponent seems so gleefully eager to tear up.
Mr. Breer, would you like to, is there anything you'd like to tell the voters before we begin with the questions?
I'd simply like to say, Mr. Orr and Mr. Goldish, that we already have a good product, and I will be solely focused over the next hour on making sure everyone out there in this great country of ours understands how I'm going to make that product of professional football even better.
Interesting. Two strategies already on display. I look forward to seeing how this plays out. Let's begin with the questions. 3 years ago, the NFL expanded the regular season from 16 games to 17. In recent months, Commissioner Goodell has spoken openly about expanding the season to 18 games, which has been met with criticism from many of the players. Mr. Orr, we'll start with you. What do you think the NFL season should look like? You should address the number of games, number of bye weeks, start date, and final week of the playoffs.
Thank you very much for this question, Mr. Goldich. And just can I mention how incredible you look today? Your hair looks phenomenal, and I appreciate you being here. This should be a 16-game season. Nice round numbers. You should be able to finish with the same number of wins and losses, or else what did our forefathers like Jeff Fisher die for, right? If not to finish 500. And the other thing is, double bye weeks, because we need to think of our local beat reporters. The bye week is the best time of the season when you find the schedule and you get to do that little fall vacation where you get to take your significant other apple picking. I believe in apple picking. I believe in America. I believe in double bye weeks and even numbers. Free healthcare for everybody.
Thank you very much. I will just say, because we are fact-checking here, Jeff Fisher still alive. I do feel it's important to say that to our audience. But Mr. Breer, I'll ask the same question for you about the schedule. And then, Connor, when he's done, you can jump in with open discussion.
Unlike my opponent, I'm not going to be denying our audience football.
Oh!
I'm not going to be pulling back on the numbers. However, I also will not be adding to the numbers. I'm a proponent of a 12-team playoff format. If you want 14, we'll give you 14. I'm a proponent of a 16-game regular season. If you want 17, we'll give you 17. I am against growing it any more than that. I think we are at a good number right now. I think the issue with the double bye weeks is going to water down this Sunday product, which is what gets to you. If you want a shakier product than we have right now in week 8, week 9, week 10, week 11, give those beat writers their double bye weeks. If you want a stronger product, leave it the way it is so everybody gets done with the season a week earlier. The scarcity of the product is important. And so we want it on less Sundays. We want more quality, more concentrated. I want a great product every Sunday, every Monday, every Thursday. And we're going to give you that great product under the current format. There's no need for any more than we already have. However, I'm not taking anything off the table from any of you either.
And you are at time, but Mr. Orr, you may jump in if you have any rebuttal here.
Yeah, this is just classic nanny state ideology here from my opponent. And I will say this, that in order to make things special, you have to keep them limited. Psychology tells us that the more abundant any product is, the less likely we are to take the time to properly enjoy it. And so I am not only bringing the American people better football, but more enjoyable football. 20 weeks of an NFL season, which I'm not sure that I listened to a word that my opponent said, but I think he's proposing. I'm just kidding.
20 weeks. I think your math's off here.
I'm kidding.
So we're going 16 weeks.
17 weeks leaves you with the inevitability of a deep December football game between two last place teams mercifully being called by the great Spiro Dedes, and it's just on in the background of your television. You're not even paying attention to it anymore. It's like an old dog that you adopted, and after you had kids, you just kind of stopped loving it as much. And I'm trying to bring that joy back. I am going to be the NFL's mental health and joy candidate.
All right. Well, before we get that Spiro got too deep into this,
I do have another scheduling question, and this time we'll start with Mr. Breer. In recent years, the NFL has expanded its international series, taking regular season games to Mexico, Germany, and now this year Brazil. What do you think the future of the international series should look like in terms of number of games, number of locations, and television windows?
I think as they become more comfortable with the logistics, Mr. Goldich, I think eventually I would love for us to get to a point where every team has one neutral site game every year. And that would even out the number. When you have 17 total, then you'd have 8 home, 8 away every year. That means fans know what they're getting in the regular season every year, 8 games at home every year. And continuing to grow the game internationally through the neutral site games. And that would give you, and my math isn't great, I think a total of, that would be 16 games to play with internationally and go to places like Germany over and over again. Go to play. That's how you built it in London. Go to London over and over again. Do that, but then grow to new places. Go to Paris. Go to Italy. Go to my mom's home country of Austria. Go to all of these places where there is a fan base and where the actual authentic product can bring people into the game. I am a big advocate of international games, and I think using that 17th game as the trigger to grow the game internationally is the right thing to do.
Mr. Orr, your response?
Yeah, my opponent and the rest of his globalist elite comrades here are the same people who are agreeing to send our citizens down to Brazil in potentially flagrant colors and putting them in the line of fire. I am a proponent of not moving our games abroad, but giving more American cities the chance to enjoy football in their backyards with proper infrastructure and investment from the NFL. I'm talking about Ithaca, New York getting a football game, baby. I'm talking about Tacoma getting a football game. I'm talking about Ames, Iowa getting a football game. Bridgeport, Connecticut getting a football game. Give the people of Providence, of Chapel Hill, North Carolina, Woods Hole, Massachusetts, give them all American football in their home countries. Allow them the chance to enjoy it on an intimate setting on their local high school field. Give us the original American football experience in America, and then we'll worry about Austria and Germany and the rest of the world.
I appreciate your knowledge of American cities. Again, I must fact check you for the second time. I believe the story about the colors in Brazil was debunked, and so it is my responsibility as the moderator to point that out. I'm sorry, Mr. Brewer, I did not mean to cut you off.
No, while I am impressed with my opponent's knowledge of Woods Hole, Massachusetts, the village of Falmouth, I believe. I live in a place called the real world. And in the real world, NFL owners are not going to sign off in putting games in high school stadiums. What they will sign off on is putting games in places where they can grow their revenue streams. That's overseas. That's not in America.
All right, I have a bonus question for you, and I'd like to do this with a show of hands, please. Please raise your hand if you believe the NFL should put a team permanently in London within the next 10 years. Well, for those listening and not watching on YouTube, that is no hands up. So sorry to all you folks in London who would like a permanent team. All right, let's move on to our third question. Mr. Orr, I have an officiating question for you. For many NFL fans, instant replay is a frequent source of consternation. That includes both the number of plays reviewed and the types of plays that are eligible to be reviewed. What do you think of the league's replay system, and what changes, if any, would you make to it?
I would allow pass interference to become reviewable again. The great Scranton native Vic Fangio, as head coach of the Denver Broncos, was the first proud American to challenge pass interference in a live preseason game. It was one of the happiest moments of my life, not only for the city of Scranton, obviously, but for Coach Fangio to have that distinction. What we're doing right now is we're seeing offenses being manipulated by the drawing, purposeful drawing of pass interference. We need to pay our officials better. We need to get them full time. We need to back them up with Sky Judge, and we need to allow them the chance to take a break and review intent on these devastating plays that are goosing offensive numbers and hurting our defensive coaches and players everywhere. I stand with them, and I stand with reviewable pass interference.
All right, Mr. Breer, same question to you. What changes would you make to the replay system?
I'm calling for an overhaul of the replay system, the implementation of a real Sky Judge, and the empowerment of the Sky Judge. The reality is, for years and years and years now, we've all had the benefit of dozens of high-definition angles on every play in every NFL game. And to not give the officials that benefit is outrageous and insane. The fact that we have all this technology, which allows us to see the game on a level we've never seen it before, that wasn't available 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, and we're not giving that technology to the people who are running the game on the field, makes absolutely zero sense. And so the idea of putting a sky judge up there who has access to all of those different angles, who has the power to call down and change a call or correct a call, is just the right thing to do. The reason this didn't exist 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, the reason why human judgment has come into so many of these different things is because the technology wasn't available then. It is now. Use the technology. Hire sky judges. Empower the sky judges. It's not going to be a review on every play. That's not the idea. The play clock will govern what needs to be overturned and what won't be overturned. The play clock will govern the sky judge's ability to buzz down to the head official and say, yes, you know, pick that flag up. No, you got that one wrong. You put that sky judge up there, you empower him, you give him the ability to leverage the technology that he's got right in front of him to make sure that the game is officiated as correctly as possible.
Mr. Orr, I see you making a face. Any response there to what you just heard?
Well, both to Mr. Breer and the timekeeper, who I'm wondering how accurate that stopwatch is. I felt like 90 seconds.
I will admit I have forgotten the stopwatch several times. Yes. So astute observation.
I agree with my opponent, Mr. Breer here, but unlike Mr. Breer, I have a plan to pay for it, okay? I'm keeping the games domestic. I'm not spending all this money on international flights, on international travel, on all these government swamp exploratory trips to Brazil and Japan and Beijing, where the fat cats in the NFL just get fatter and they enjoy local cuisine and they lay out on extravagant beaches, spending your NFL money when it should be kept right here, putting it in the pockets of our hardworking officials, incentivizing them to actually learn what a catch is, and better governing our games.
Powerful stuff. Thank you for sharing that. Speaking of officiating, one of the most controversial rules in the book only comes up a few times per season, but it always seems to generate attention. That rule, of course, is the fumble touchback, where if an offensive team fumbles through the end zone, that team will lose possession and the other team will take over at the 20-yard line. Mr. Breer, what are your thoughts on this rule, and are there any changes you would make to it?
I don't have a strong thought one way or the other, so I probably wouldn't change it. I've heard a lot of people argue about it. I used to feel stronger about it than I do now. Ball security is a big issue in football at every level, and if coached correctly, in a lot of cases, these sorts of situations can be avoided. By, for example, Bill Belichick, the legendary Patriots coach, coached his guys to never reach the ball out unless it's fourth down. Never reach the ball across the goal line unless it's fourth down. That's an easy fix to some of the consequences we've seen on these sorts of plays. So I understand people think that the penalty for fumbling at near the goal line is too harsh. I don't feel strongly one way or the other on it. I do think it's avoidable for a team that has the ball. I think the way to avoid it is coachable and easily coachable. And so, therefore, I would not make a change.
Okay. And Mr. Orr, do you have any strong thoughts on the fumble touchback rule?
I do. Thank you, Mitch, for the question. I not only believe in upholding the rule, I believe in making it stronger so that if you fumble the ball over the goal line, triggering a touchback, your team should actually lose 2 points. And the reason is because the end zone is sacrosanct and we need to back away from this pat on the back participation trophy society that allows people two or three different opportunities to make mistakes with no impunity. We need to teach our children real life lessons. If I go into the bank and I say, oops-a-daisy, I spent more money than I have in my account, I get an overdraft fee. And this is the NFL's version of overdrafting. You got greedy. You weren't paying attention to your fundamentals and you irresponsibly stuck the ball over the goal line. costing your team potential points. Well, now you are costing your team real points in real time. We need to get back to a society with laws. We need to punish those people who feel like it's okay to just willy-nilly reach the ball over the end zone.
Mr. Breer, you shared sort of a moderate centrist position on the on this role.
Right.
Any response to losing 2 points?
And I would question my opponent's integrity here. In that I don't know how you could possibly have such a strong opinion on so many different things. I think we have to call into question his honesty here. Does
wow.
he honestly feel this strongly about everything?
Wow. Wow. As someone who has obviously been pro football and pro America for the entirety of my career, unlike Albert, again, like I said at the beginning of the show, this is very surprising for me to hear.
All right, well, Mr. Orr, you seem fired up, so I'm going to stick with you here. There are some big name players who are first time eligible for the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 2025. Those players include Luke Kuechly, Marshawn Lynch, Terrell Suggs, Marshall Yanda, Joe Staley, and Eli Manning. Do you believe Eli Manning should be a first ballot Hall of Famer?
This is not fair.
Your time starts now.
You're just going to laugh for 90 seconds?
I will say this. I have a deep reverence for the Manning family and the rest of the football deep state, which controls our media, which controls our game, and which controls many of our member clubs and the decisions that they make. So obviously, with that in mind, the very powerful and very wealthy Manning family campaign donors, thank you guys so much again for all of your contributions. I gladly usher in Eli Manning as a first as a first fan. I couldn't get it out. yes. Eli Manning should be in the Hall of Fame.
It is tough. Mr. Breer did ask how you have such strong opinions on all of these topics.
I would like to call into question the integrity
the
of my opponent.
Just selected questions that he knew would elicit strong opinions. But Mr. Breer, do you have any thoughts on Eli Manning's Hall of Fame case since your opponent can't get a sentence out?
I hate you, Mitch.
I mean, first of all, I would again question the integrity of my opponent. It does appear that he's flip-flopping from previous opinions here. And
I've never said anything bad about the Mannings. Check the record.
If you want somebody who is just going to kowtow to whoever's lining his pockets.
Oh man, I do on like if we're like I'm not trying to take away my opponent's time, but I really do think that two of the best Super Bowl performances for a quarterback does overreach. I do think that there has been a Hall of Very Good, and I do think Eli Manning is the first ballot Hall of Famer. In all seriousness.
Wow. Now that sounded honest, but he's well trained at sounding honest, I think.
Exactly.
So I'm going to say no. I feel like one of the primary bars that I think you have to clear to be a first ballot Hall of Famer is to have been an elite player at your position over an extended period of time. I am not sure there was a single year, let alone 4 or 5 or 6, where you could say Eli Manning was one of the top 5 quarterbacks in football. He also never won a playoff game outside of those 2 years, 2007 and 2011, when he won the Super Bowl. And I also wonder how this would open the door for other people to get in the Hall of Fame. And I think at that position in particular, it's similar to what's happened at receiver, where the bar is now going to be raised for receivers to get in because of the way the passing numbers have exploded. I think it's going to become harder, not easier, to pick which quarterbacks are going in. So Eli Manning is going to be pitted against, historically, Ben Roethlisberger, Philip Rivers, Carson Palmer, And I'm just not sure that I would say Eli Manning stands above those other guys, which would mean my first instinct is that no, he's not a first ballot Hall of Famer.
I am flabbergasted. Protect your boy. Mr. Orr twisted himself into knots because he didn't think he was allowed to say no. And then Mr. Breer just said no. And that was amazing. That was worth this whole exercise for that exchange. All right. Let's go back to the NFL schedule. And we actually have a question that was submitted by a listener. I will read that question for you, Mr. Breer. My name is Sally Nelson. I am 15 years old and I live in Terrace Park, Ohio. I'm a huge Bengals fan. And this year for my birthday, my parents and I are going to see the Bengals play the Chargers in week 11. I've never been to LA before, and SoFi Stadium looks really cool on TV. But my parents are worried that if the game gets flexed from Sunday afternoon to Monday or Thursday, we'd have to change our flights and hotel reservations, and my parents might not be able to take off work to both go on the trip with me. Don't you think the NFL's flex scheduling has gotten out of control for people like me, Sally Nelson, 15 years old from Terrace Park, Ohio?
I would agree with Sally that the flex scheduling has gotten out of control, and it's not just for the fans, it's for the players as well. I think the idea of having to change the way these guys prepare on a constant basis, moving games around to appease broadcast partners and prioritize them over fans and over players and over coaches and over everybody who has to prepare for these games, stadium workers, I think is egregious and over the line. And I would pull way back on moving games off of Sunday and into Thursdays and into Mondays. And my feeling is that this is another product of the price point of those broadcast contracts seeping into football decisions.
And Mr. Orr, what are your thoughts on flex scheduling?
Well, first, Sally, I'd just like to mention that Eli Manning has thrown for 366 touchdowns in his career compared to just 165 for Troy Aikman, who's already in the Hall of Fame, and the door for mediocrity has already been kicked wide open. So I know that's not part of your question, Sally, but I think what I'd like you to understand is how important and how valuable these TV networks are, not only to the quality of our life, but to the integrity of our football game. And, you know, every time that I go out there and I hear things about, you know, Jeff Bezos or the president of NBC Sports or CBS Sports, and I hear all these negative things about flex scheduling, I want to remind the country of what patriots these men and women are, and the fact that all they're trying to do, Sally, is to provide premium programming at an advantageous time so that the majority of us can enjoy our moments around the television screen, which is where we belong. You know, not all of society, Sally, has the means to fly across the country to buy an expensive parking pass. And so what we need to do is keep them in mind as we create this theatrical and star-studded schedule, which is done again with the careful and cautious eye of some of our brightest and best people in the country.
Mr. Breer, thoughts on that rebuttal?
I think the quality of the game is paramount, and the quality of the game that we're producing is paramount. And I think the easiest way to ensure that we have high quality of the game is to have the players and coaches in the best position to give us the best product possible, which does not happen with flex scheduling.
All right. Well, we are winding down now and approaching the end of the debate. Let's move on to more of a rapid fire format. For the following questions, only one of you will get a chance to answer, and I will ask you to do so within 30 seconds. First question goes to you, Mr. Orr. Do you think MVP voters focus too much on quarterbacks?
Absolutely. If I could just get up on my soapbox for a minute, I think that
you have 30 seconds, not a minute.
I'm very short. It takes a while to climb up on the soapbox. I think that we should give more credence not only to our quarterbacks, not only to our wide receivers and our running backs, but our offensive linemen people, Trent Williams, guys like that who have been anchoring their offensive lines for years, playing every single snap, protecting the most valuable financial assets in our organization and getting no credit for it. Marshall Yanda should have been an MVP. Joe Thomas should have been an MVP. Trent Williams should have been an MVP.
Unfortunately,
Ronnie Stanley should have been
time.
An MVP.
Thank you, Mr. Orr. Mr. Breer, a question for you. Who deserves more credit for the Patriots dynasty, Tom Brady or Bill Belichick?
Tom Brady. This is relatively simple. We saw what happened when the two were broken apart. Bill Belichick, who I still regard as the greatest coach of all time, coached 4 years in New England. Post-Tom Brady, made the playoffs once and was fired after a 4-13 season. Tom Brady with the Buccaneers made the playoffs three times, won two division titles. The year he didn't win the division, he won the Super Bowl, and the Super Bowl MVP changed the face of that franchise. So the answer is Tom Brady, though Belichick's still the greatest coach of all time.
That is time. Thank you for sticking within your time and giving a good answer there. Mr. Orr, who is the best defensive player in the league right now?
That's a great question. I would say that TJ Watt of the Pittsburgh Steelers is the best defensive player in the league. Not only is he a tough, hard-nosed edge setter, but he is also revolutionary in the way that he gets into the backfield and creates turnovers, a fact that was brought to light for us by the legendary now journalist at the New York Times, Jenny Vrentas, in a very famous SI cover story, which you should all read.
Mr. Breer, now that the Panthers and Jaguars have secured public funding for new stadiums, are there any scenarios where you could imagine a current franchise moving to a new market within the next 5 to 10 years?
No, because I think the only market the NFL would approve domestically would be potentially San Diego. And I don't see a team where the needle would be moved by going to San Diego. Other than that, I think the markets they would want to go to are international, and I think they're happy with the way that things are internationally, playing neutral site games over there for the time being until travel logistics at some point down the line allow for them to put teams overseas.
And time. You're doing a great job sticking right to your 30 seconds. Mr. Orr, next question for you. Was Kyle Shanahan correct to choose the ball at the start of the overtime period in Super Bowl 58?
I believe in a coach's right to choose, Mitch. And so that opinion, I leave those opinions to the individual coaches, to the individual states. I don't believe in our role in the league office or in the media or anywhere else in dictating a coach's right to choose when it comes to the coin toss. I believe in individual freedom and individual choice. And Kyle Shanahan, great, a great American.
All right. Thanks for that. Question for you, Mr. Breer. Who led the NFL in rushing yards in 2005?
LaDainian Tomlinson?
Wrong. Sean Alexander. Question for you, Mr. Orr. Do you believe that the NFL should still add preseason games after the draft, like the NBA Summer League?
Absolutely. We need a chance. Again, unlike Sally, whose very wealthy family was able to fly her across the country to see a Chargers game, we need to be able to build in more affordable and accessible opportunities to see live football. There should be a preseason tournament every year. Again, played across the country at some of our great cities in the world. Dunmore, Pennsylvania, Scranton, Pennsylvania. I could go on and on.
All right. Mr. Breer, which NFL head coach does the best job using careful punctuation and capital letters when you text with them?
Well, I know who it's not. I'm going to use all 30 seconds to think about this. I would say who is very disciplined when it comes to that? Dan Quinn.
Okay. Thank you for that answer. I won't pry on how much you're texting each individual coach. I am curious who is the worst at that, but maybe you'll tell that another time.
That's an easy one. That's Sean McVay.
Okay, got it. final question for you, Mr. Orr. Which NFL fan base hates you the most?
That's a good question. It's been different for long periods of time. We had a tough road with the Seahawks. Now I feel like we're back on in a good place. A very tough road with the Carolina Panthers fans, but we are now in a very good place. I would say probably right now New Orleans. But again, I understand that given my position to not only annex that city from the United States, but to forcibly discontinue them from hosting Super Bowls from years past. Very overrated American city. And it doesn't fit in with the ethos of our true football society here in America.
That's time, and I look forward to your return to New Orleans in February, where you will get to see all of these people on the streets when you're there for an entire week. Final question for you, Mr. Breer. Should Taylor Swift do the Super Bowl halftime show?
Yes, because it would be good for America if she did the Super Bowl halftime show. It may not be great. It may not be that beneficial for Taylor Swift. It may not be that beneficial for Travis Kelce, but it would be the right thing for America. And that's why I'm here today. Do the right thing for America.
Can I jump in here? Because this is ignoring, I feel like, the true will of the people, which is obviously to see a performance by superstar Pitbull. So Pitbull should do the halftime show.
All right.
Wow. You have it. All you need to know about my opponent right there.
This has been a spirited debate, and I thank both of you gentlemen for being here and sharing your opinions. I'd like to give you the chance to make closing statements. Both of you will have a chance to tell us why you think you've won this debate today. We'll start with Mr. Breer.
I would say it's not so much about me, a great steward for the great game of football. It's about my opponent. We've already seen his compromised integrity today with his Eli Manning tweet or Eli Manning take. We've seen the choices he's making in life in general by choosing Pitbull as the halftime performer. You've learned everything you need to know about my opponent today. So don't make this about me. I'm just here to serve you. Make this about what you don't want. Make this about the nightmare that might be around the corner. Make this about what it'll be like 7 months from now in New Orleans, Louisiana, if Connor Orr is the one influencing what happens inside the Superdome. You don't want that, America. You don't want that.
Powerful. And Mr. Orr, would you like to make a closing statement? Why do you feel you've won this debate today?
Well, I feel like I won the debate because I spoke directly to the people that I represent. And, you know, again, I'm talking about the folks from Minot in the Dakotas. I'm talking about, because I can't remember.
Aren't you from New Jersey?
I'm talking about the folks from Minot. I'm talking about the folks from Altoona, Pennsylvania, Jersey Shore, Pennsylvania. Those are the ones that I'm speaking to. And, you know, I'm trying to continue the incredibly proud, integrity-laden reputation that was set forth by my predecessor, Mr. Roger Goodell, and all of the great minds that have brought football to this point. I am merely trying to keep football in America. I'm trying to make it more accessible to you, and that's why you should vote me as whatever for whatever we're voting for.
Yeah, we did not establish that. Great. If you're wondering how to vote, you can look it up online.
Vote, by the way. Well, everyone should vote.
Real voting. Yes, of course.
Yeah, you should actually vote, not for this.
Right. All right. Well,
we see the votes every day on Twitter.
Thank you both of our candidates. Thank you, America, for tuning in. I think this has been a thoughtful and helpful exercise in democracy to understand where both of you land on all of the important issues. And I'm glad that we did this, and perhaps we'll do it again some other time. But in the meantime, thank you again for tuning in. Thank you to our producer, Shelby Royston. Thank you to the MMQB Debate Commission for putting this on, and to the candidates for agreeing to the rules and mostly following them. And America, we will talk to you again later.
Hey,
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Get 15% off a set of BrakeBest Select, Select Pro, or Import Direct brake pads and two rotors now at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.